We are joined by our attorney, our barrister, our lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Now, Jeff, last week we talked about you and Chestnut Cambrone, where you're a partner, working on a lawsuit against the governor to represent all of the bars and restaurants primarily that have been shut down by the governor other than doing takeout. What's the update on that? It's not been filed yet. Still gathering information?
No. Yeah, we had this ready to go last summer, Bob, and then the governor announced that he was going to allow 50% indoor dining and expanding, you know, patio dining. And so our client asked us to, it was a coalition of bars and restaurants, and we hit the brakes on it just hours before the announcement. So, you know, clients reached out right after this latest order. And so we've been getting, this is not an easy thing to try to overcome any of the governor's orders. So far, there have been dozens of cases filed against him in federal and state court, and none of them have gone anywhere. And I've reviewed a lot of those cases. I've reviewed a lot of the orders. And what I've come to conclude is that a court is going to be hesitant to overturn any of the governor's orders so long as they believe that what the governor's order takes action against is going to stop the spread of the virus, right?
Yep.
And so I've been gathering data. I've been watching the daily case tracker to see, because when we get 14 days out from the closure, this most recent closure order, then you can argue, you know, you'll see the effects of it, right? If there is something to this closing the bars and restaurants, you'll see a decline in cases. If you don't, I think you have an argument that it doesn't do anything. And more so, I'm trying to follow up on anecdotal evidence of the increased traffic into Fargo, North Dakota, and Hudson, Wisconsin, of Minnesotans to drink and eat indoors at a bar or restaurant. And, you know, when you have Wisconsin, North Dakota, and South Dakota all having higher numbers of confirmed cases than Minnesota, when you basically look at it as a percentage of the population, I don't think that's really a good thing to be doing to encourage people to take an action that only incentivizes people to go into those states and then come back to Minnesota. I think you're actually increasing the chances of further spread. The problem with all these other cases is they've immediately run into court arguing the constitutional issue. And I don't think a judge has been sympathetic to that. It's going to take a little, another week or so before we see the data to determine if there's something that we might be able to withstand scrutiny of a judge. So I'm cautiously optimistic. So far, the data's looking good, but it's just premature yet. You want to have the case ripe and ready. You don't want to just go in and on a kamikaze mission and lose. You want to do something meaningful. You actually want to try to get it overturned. So, or you have the governor be concerned about it enough that, like last time when they knew about the lawsuit, where they would move the dials back. So, you know, we'll see. I every indication he's already, yesterday I saw his press conference. He's talking about the same rules for Christmas for Thanksgiving are going to apply for Christmas. That would suggest that he's looking at extending this closure order out past the 16th of December, which would just be absolutely devastating for our hospitality industry.
Well,
I mean,
Jeff, here's what I don't understand, because the word is that the frontline workers are going to be the first ones to get inoculated with the vaccine. Then they're going to go into the nursing homes, and they're going to go to elderly people. There's a vaccine now. I don't understand why he's not even acknowledging or not backing off a little bit and saying, let's see how the vaccine works.
I just don't think he knows what he's doing. I mean, I'm almost ready to ask somebody put up a constitutional amendment that, or something in state statute that as a necessary prerequisite to running for governor, you have to have at least some business experience, because this guy doesn't have any and it shows.
Well, in New Jersey, and I don't know if the numbers are comparable here, but a third of the small businesses have closed for good. I mean, you cannot survive that way as a country,
right,
when you have a third of the businesses closing.
We've seen a lot of restaurants and bars close in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I think that's kind of a twofold reason. I think the virus was one thing. The civil unrest was the second prong of that mess will cause a lot of them to say, you know, we're done. All of my clients are, you know, they're still going. Some of them, some bars and restaurants right now, they might be taking like a pause and, you know, just shut down for a couple weeks. Other ones are only doing weekends, maybe some only certain nights where it's, you know, where it's busier takeout traffic than others. Yeah. So you're seeing more of that this go around because the first time everybody had PPP money to be, you know, so they could stay open. This time they just have to, you know, operate on bare bones. And I don't, you know, the governor is proposing some financial aid package. I don't know where the money's coming from. You know, the state has a, is now a projected budget deficit for next year. But I think people are just getting upset that, you know, bars and restaurants at the airport are open. Bars and restaurants at the casinos are open. You know, last time they shut down with the governor's order, they didn't do it this time. So I think that's what's getting a lot of people. It just seems that, you know, some people want to, you know, some people are playing by the rules and getting screwed by it. And I'm getting the sense that there's a lot more frustration and hostility towards the governor this go around with these closure orders than there was the first time. I think the first time we were all kind of like, yeah, try it. You know, we have this, we're looking, staring at this 2.2 million deaths number nationwide. Now it's like, we know the vulnerable populations. We know how to isolate them. We know that there's a vaccine right around the corner. Why the heck are you doing this?
Is he still putting people that are COVID positive in nursing homes?
As far as I know, he is.
Well, then this is absurd. That's how it's spreading. And they're claiming that it's spreading the way they're getting in the nursing homes. It's like the workers are spreading it. But they could be getting it from these people being put in there all along. Yeah. He had a tweet today talking about, we all have to do our part. Well, you do your part and stop putting the most at-risk population we have in danger. It's inexcusable. You know,
the Minnesota Senate needs to do its part too. You know, if he's going to come up here in another week and ask for those powers to be extended or extend those powers again and bring them back into special session to do it, Paul Gazelka and the Senate Republicans who are in the majority need to call a hearing on Jan Malcolm, his commissioner of health. They can fire her at any point. And ask those questions that you just asked. Why did you do it in the first place? Why are you still doing it? What the heck, you know, what data are you using to support any of this? Because I haven't seen any yet that support that, other than what they're making, that they're manufacturing this outbreaks metric to try to, you know, stir up, you know, to justify shutting down bars, restaurants. They don't have any data that supports shutting down the gyms, by the way.
No, the whole thing is... He's a man drunk with power.
And the Senate needs to step up and do its job and call in Malcolm, Commissioner Malcolm, for a hearing. And they need to hold it over the governor and say, you know, she's getting fired if this doesn't stop.
People know that this is not good. And it's has to be some personal accountability involved in this. And by the way, I'm going to switch gears dramatically here because we're running out of time. But the guy who calls himself President-elect Biden, I'm saying that for Trump fans because they don't view him as President-elect, he hurt his foot playing with a puppy, but it was a German Shepherd. And you pointed out, well, explain what you pointed out before the show to me about that.
The media's done a few, you know, slobbery stories about his German Shepherds. And I said, you know, if the situation was reversed, if this was 4 years ago and Donald Trump was coming to Washington, D.C. with two German Shepherds, the media's first story would have been the comparison that, well, you know, Hitler had German Shepherds and loved those dogs. So, you know, therefore, I mean, that's what it would have been,
well,
you know, 4 years ago.
Why can't Biden have an American breed? Why does he have to have a Nazi breed?
You know what?
It's absurd, but that's what would have been said.
His good buddy, John McCain, was a lifelong devotee of Chesapeake Bay Retrievers. I share that with the Senate.
Perfect.
We're on our second one. You'd think that you know, it's been not since Teddy Roosevelt was in the White House have we had a Chessie. I think it's high time. But yeah, so it's not just that he hurt his foot. He's in a full walking boot.
And, I said this yesterday, Jeff. He didn't hurt his foot playing with the puppy. Probably fell down the basement stairs on his way down there to, you know.
Which concerns me because, you know, at this time, he's been declared the president-elect. This is somebody who in his past has had has been treated for two brain aneurysms, right? And we all seen, you know, on the campaign trail, a lot of us believe that there's some cognitive decline there. It's concerning that he is kind of frail. I mean, this is the oldest president that's ever been elected. So,
what a world.
The tough part though is we didn't find out until 24 hours later that this all happened. Yeah. You know, the media finally reported it once the guy's walking around in a boot. You kind of have to disclose that. So I guess we're in a new era of media relations with the president.
Oh, it's definitely cozy. All right, Jeff. Uh-huh. Jeff O'Brien, thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.